This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. I've been dying to get beyond the blood and learn something about Mary. Is that hair gel? Bloody Mary is a fellow mirror-themed queen, and you either loved her or hated her, especially if you were Queen Elizabeth I, who was her little sister. Queen Mary I was the first ruling queen of England and burned a lot of people at the stake when they refused to convert to her Catholic faith. Let's learn how a queen's legacy has turned into a blood-covered killer who uses a mirror to travel through the veil. I promise, it's not me. Or is it? Magic mirror on the wall, who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and I am thrilled to have you join my lessons. This is a history podcast where we delve into the lives and actions of some rotten people from our past, using a magical mirror and a touch of humor to bring their stories to life. All with the mission to extract valuable lessons from the mistakes of these historical people that we can use in our lives today. Alrighty, several of you have written in asking me to take a spin at Bloody Mary, and next week's episode, King Henry VIII. I haven't covered Mary before because there's a lot out there about her, and I didn't want to be another drop in the bucket. But I'm not gonna lie. I definitely did the whole Bloody Mary thing in the mirror as a teenager. Between watching Charmed, Angel, Buffy, Supernatural, and Ghost Whisperer, I felt more than capable of handling any angry woman covered in blood and screaming in a mirror. I mean, I've been to a gas station bathroom before. But as we have learned here, when a woman is vilified for all time, it's because she was either really rotten, or some rotten people hated her. In this case, it's both. Let's find out how. Now, previous English queens were wives of the ruling king before Mary I. However, Mary was the first female monarch to rule England in her own right, rather than just being a consort, which makes her a queen regent. Mary Tudor was born at Greenwich Palace on February 18, 1516. Her parents were King Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon, whom you might have heard of. Mary was said to have been a beautiful child with fair skin, pale blue eyes, and golden red hair. By the time she was 9 years old, it was apparent that Henry and Catherine would have no more children, leaving Henry without a male heir. As we know, and we'll find out more next week, Henry VIII went through a lot of wives and divorced her mother before he married Anne Boleyn. He executed Anne shortly after, and it wasn't until his third wife, Jane Seymour, that Henry pulled Mary out of confinement. Because she was a female, and since he had moved on through several wives since her mother, Henry declared Mary illegitimate. After Mary's restoration to the line of succession in 1544, she returned to spending time at Greenwich and other royal palaces, encouraged by Henry's latest wife, Catherine Parr. However, with Henry as the self-proclaimed head of the Church of England, the rehab was uneasy to say the least, because Mary was a very loyal Catholic. There was no way he was going to let all of his hard work go to waste by letting his strict Catholic daughter undo all he had done to turn England Protestant. Mary was often sick with irregular menstruation problems and depression, although it's not clear whether this was caused by stress, puberty, or an unknown disease. She was also banned from seeing her own mother, who had been sent away. Henry would only allow them to see one another if they agreed that Mary wasn't legitimate, which they never did. My God, their family's like a crossover of Jerry Springer and Divorce Court. Eventually, when Henry married Anne, Mary was again declared officially illegitimate, and her new half-sister, Elizabeth, was made heir. If you don't know about Queen Elizabeth I, you should check out my past two episodes on her, going back to episodes 12 and 13. Well, Mary just couldn't accept that her younger half-sister was going to be queen, and it began to weigh on her mentally. Her relationship with her dad only became worse, and they stopped talking to one another for several years. Since she was no longer heir, Mary was kept in semi-seclusion and still kept from seeing her mother. Eventually, Catherine of Aragon fell sick and died in 1536, and Mary wasn't even allowed to attend the funeral. She could only mourn the loss of her mother alone. That year, Henry demanded Mary to acknowledge him as the head of the Church of England, renounce papal authority, admit that her parents' marriage was invalid, and accept her own illegitimacy. She tried submitting to Henry's authority as much as she could, and was even forced to sign a document agreeing to all of his demands. Once she signed it, she was allowed back at court and granted a household, servants, and a spending account, which she mostly spent on elaborate gowns and apparently gambling at cards, which was one of her favorite pastimes. With the birth of her brother Edward in 1537, Mary was pushed further down the line of succession. In 1543, Henry married his sixth and last wife, Catherine Parr. Henry then returned Mary and Elizabeth to the line of succession through the Act of Succession in 1544, placing them after Edward, though they both remained legally illegitimate. Ugh, messy, messy, messy. Mary was edged with that crown all throughout her childhood and adolescence. No wonder she had problems. When Henry died in 1547, Edward did succeed him, even though he was still a child. So the rule went to a regency council who were predominantly Protestant. While Mary remained faithful to Roman Catholicism and defiantly celebrated traditional mass in her own chapel. She even wrote to her cousin, Emperor Charles, to apply diplomatic pressure, demanding that she be allowed to practice her religion. Can you just imagine being a royal and having a slew of other royal relatives to call upon for help? Must be nice. Mary has been teased with the crown her entire life, and now her baby brother, a literal child, is now the king, and those controlling him are forcing their own religious agendas. It's safe to say, Mary was more than a little bitter. Well, she didn't have to wait too long because in 1553, at the age of 15, King Edward died of what's believed to have been tuberculosis. But little Eddie didn't want England to return to Catholicism, and in his will, he disinherited both Mary and Elizabeth from the throne. Instead, he made Lady Jane Grey, a distant cousin, the new ruler. But Mary wasn't going to take that lying down. Jane Grey was crowned queen on July 10, 1553, and by July 19th, Mary had gained enough support and an army to end it, and locked Jane in the Tower of London. Mary then rode triumphantly into London on August 3, 1553. She was accompanied by Elizabeth and a procession of over 800 nobles and gentlemen. Her entire life had been manipulation, fear, succession edging, and watching women all around her die. But now, she was in control and was going to be queen. Mary's faith did play a large part in her rule. She was not going to let her Catholic faith fall to the side and believe that her God himself had chosen her to restore the faith by any means necessary. This is where the bloody part of Bloody Mary comes into play. Mary was no longer a young woman who was halted by powerful men and used as a pawn in the incestual royal chess game. It was time for her to show that she was the daughter of King Henry VIII, but she would be even more ruthless. She eventually did have to have Lady Jane Grey killed, and it weighed on Mary's mind heavily. I mean, it was her own cousin after all. On October 1st, 1553, Mary was crowned queen at Westminster Abbey. Her short yet bloody reign had now officially begun. Mary was now in her late 30s and turned her attention to finding a husband and producing an heir, which would prevent Elizabeth from becoming queen if something were to happen to Mary, which there were many conspirators concocting plans to do just that. And through a series of political schemes, plotting, and the new Queen Mary's Marriage Act, she married King Philip II of Spain. And there was a lot of hullabaloo about the marriage, because England had never had just a queen before. And there was great fear that Philip would take control and England would fall under Catholic Spanish control. Philip and Mary were also second cousins. Dear Lord, their family tree looks like a telephone pole.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The conditions of their marriage were that all official documents had to have both of their names, and that England would not be forced to provide any military support to Spain in any war. Also, Philip couldn't act without Mary's consent, and he also couldn't appoint any foreigners into office. Philip wasn't too happy with that. I'm sure he imagined that he, as a man, would have all the power, and as a king already, did not like the idea of sharing power with his wife. It was no secret that Philip was only in the relationship for the political gains he received, He really didn't have any feelings for Mary, and from what I read, didn't seem to like her at all. Although she was madly in love with him. Daddy issues. Philip still performed his duty as a husband and a king and knew that if they were to have a son, he could possibly be both the king of England and of Spain. Spain only if Phil's oldest son, Don, died without issue. Don was in line for the Spanish throne, but was not a contender in the Great British Game. Their wedding was on July 25, 1554, and occurred only 2 days after they first met. And due to Philip's inability to speak English, they talked in a mix of Spanish, French, and Latin. Ooh, that's a bit sexy, don't you think? I swoon when a man speaks to me in one foreign language, let alone three. Ooh-wee. It didn't take long for them to get things going, and 2 months later, in September, Mary stopped having her period. She started putting on weight and began having morning sickness. As far as everyone could tell, she was pregnant. That same month, Mary had all the leading Protestant churchmen imprisoned. Even though she swore she would not compel any of her subjects to follow her religion. Imagine a hormonal pregnant queen with absolute power who's a little nutty. Mary's first parliament, which took place in early October, declared her parents' marriage valid and abolished her brother Edward's religious laws. Then, around 800 rich Protestants fled into exile. And the ones who remained were in for a world of hurt from Mary. This is when I believe her mind really started to turn on her. She truly believed in her body and soul that her God had handpicked her to rule England and save it from straying from the true faith of Catholicism. She was going to bring hell on earth to make her subjects either convert or burn. The first executions occurred in February of 1555. Archbishops were forced to watch bishops burn at the stake, and before long, the burnings were very common. Now, burning at the stake had been used throughout history, but during Queen Mary's reign, it was used more than at any other time. Mary believed that the burnings would scare people to converting. But it only made them more determined to remain Protestant. And as hate for Mary increased, so did support for her sister, Elizabeth. In total, 283 were executed, most by burning. Mary even chose a pregnant woman to burn for heresy, and it's said that the lady gave birth while in the fire. Can you believe she did that all while thinking it's what God wants? She's slipping. She's slipping. Even with all of the hatred she received for it, Mary kept on with the executions throughout her entire reign. She would pay for it, though, in more ways than one. As the months rolled along, Mary still looked pregnant, but the due date came and went. And no child was ever born. She still showed signs of pregnancy until July 1555, when she began losing the weight she had gained. It was most likely a false pregnancy, perhaps induced by Mary's overwhelming desire to have a child, and she considered it God's punishment for her having tolerated heretics in her realm. But of course, not for all the people she had burned alive. Well, Queen Elizabeth I's reign was known as the Golden Age of Britain. Mary's was more wet and bloody. The literal weather in England had turned on her and became more gray and rainy while she was queen, which led to a lot of flooding and famine. While ever determined to have a child and heir, Mary had another nighttime visit from Phil, and in 1557, she believed she was pregnant again and showed signs of it. But the due date came and went, and again, no baby was born. This time, though, the weight didn't go away. Her belly had remained swollen and kept slowly growing. As the months went on, Mary grew weaker and sick. She realized that something was wrong with her, and in her weakened state, with no heir to succeed her, she had to accept that her Protestant sister Elizabeth was going to be queen. Queen Mary I of England died on November 17, 1558, at the age of 42. It is believed that it was either from ovarian cyst or uterine cancer, which is why her stomach had swelled during her false pregnancies. Mary's will stated she wished to be buried next to her mother. She was interred in Westminster Abbey in a tomb she eventually shared with her sister Elizabeth, directly underneath her, actually. Despite competing claims and opposition, she was the first woman to successfully claim the throne of England, enjoying popular support and sympathy, particularly from Roman Catholics. And by the 17th century, the memory of her religious persecutions led to her new name, Bloody Mary. And you thought your family was nuts. How did I not know that Bloody Mary was Queen Elizabeth's sister? I guess when your sister is known as one of the greatest rulers England's ever had, Mary's short rule kind of fell to the sidelines. I do feel bad for Mary when she was a girl. How sad of a life to live, especially with the death of her mom and all the manipulative crap her dad put her through. I think the mix of mental illness, religious fanaticism, and her almost constant illness greatly affected her decisions as she aged. I never would have guessed that she had almost 300 people killed for not turning Catholic, especially that pregnant woman and her baby. I wonder if she chose the woman just out of jealousy that she was pregnant while Mary couldn't deliver. This lesson really showed me that Bloody Mary was a victim of suffering and depression. That, along with absolute power, a mad devotion to her religion, and heartbreak, led her to becoming absolutely rotten. Well, that brings us to the end of our lesson today, my darlings. Let's cleanse ourselves and you can be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about Queen Bloody Mary of England and what lessons you learned on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History. And don't forget, you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane and our friend producer Kim. You can find that wherever you listen. We also have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we can have a whole bunch of extra fun and interaction. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic week, my darlings. Bye.